CBS News special report. A strong aftershock with a magnitude of 4.0 hit the New York City area about a half hour ago. It was centered 37 miles west of the city. It follows a 4.8 magnitude earthquake that jolted tens of millions in the Northeast this morning. Maribel Buclouche lives in Union, New Jersey, where she noticed some minor damage.
We were sitting in the kitchen on the island paying some bills, and we felt like everything was shaking. So we were holding on to the island.
Delaware State Senator Sarah McBride.
We have received more than 160,000 felt reports on our website. This may be a new record. We're currently validating this information.
Following the aftershock, social media was again flooded with messages. Notify NYC confirmed the aftershock online and advised residents to remain inside and call 911 if injured. There are no reports at this point of any damage or injuries from the aftershock. CBS News special report. I'm Wendy Gillette.
Seth here, host of Over the Back Fence. We're on the air live every Saturday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m., taking your calls to buy or sell, talk local events, or whatever, only on WFHR.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. In-state tuition at the Universities of Wisconsin will go up 3.75% next school year. The Board of Regents passed the hike unanimously yesterday. Tuition will go up anywhere from $255 to almost $400, depending on which campus. It's the second straight year of tuition hikes after a 10-year freeze. Fees are going up, too. April is Autism Month. The CDC says one in every 36 American kids is on the spectrum. Katie Hess is with the Autism Society of Greater Wisconsin. She's urging people to be accepting and inclusive.
Really what we're looking for is for people just to be open-minded and patient and understanding.
The Autism Society in Wisconsin is training businesses on how to better serve employees and clients with autism. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Following are upcoming meetings in the listening area for Monday, April 8th. In Wood County, the Public Safety Committee will meet at 9 a.m. at the courthouse in Room 114. The Residential Options Committee will meet at 9 a.m. in Room 115. The Wisconsin Rapids Human Resources Committee will meet at 2:30 at City Hall. The WRPS Regular Board of Education meeting will begin at 6. The Village of Buren will hold their regular board meeting. In Portage County, the Commission on Aging, Aging and Disability Resource Center Board will meet at 4. The Human Resources Committee at 5, the Stevens Point Personnel Committee will meet at 6, the Public Policy and General Government meeting at 6:05, the Board of Public Works at 6:15, and the Finance Committee meeting at 6:30. The Village of Whiting will hold their Plan Commission meeting at 5. In Adams County, the Administrative and Finance Committee will meet at 9 and the Board Rules meeting at 9:30 a.m. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
Data shows that after a child turns 9 in foster care, they are much less likely to be adopted. But the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption believes every child is adoptable.
Families, if you're able to let your hair down a little bit, there's a lot to learn from teenagers.
The clock is ticking for teens at risk of aging out of foster care. Learn how you can help at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
Baseball tonight at AmFam Field. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It's the Brewers hosting the Seattle Mariners. Reese Hoskins is off to a good start at first base and at the plate.
Replay overturned it. Now Hoskins flirting with the pole. It's gone. Reese Hoskins makes it 2-0.
Jeff Levering, Bally Sports Wisconsin, Brewers general manager Matt Arnold.
Look, we're trying to win as many games as we can here this year and in the long run, you know, and so that's a tricky thing for us to balance when we're able to add veterans here with the type of track record that Reese has. That's really exciting. You know, he fits so well.
NBA, it's the Bucks and the Raptors tonight at Fiserv Forum. Milwaukee has lost 4 of their last 5 games.
There's at times that we play really well. There's at times that we don't. But at the end of the day, again, we had open shots like AJ had one, Malik had one, BP had one. Like, we had open shots. Pat, I think, had one. I had two. You know, you gotta make shots.
That's the Bucks, Giannis Antetokounmpo. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, low mid-20s. Sunny, warmer with the wind picking up tomorrow, high mid-50s. Cloudy, breezy, some showers Sunday, high only mid-40s. Mostly cloudy with a few more showers around on Monday, highs return to near 50 degrees. Right now it's 53.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
Your hometown news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Tune in Monday, very special Devils Advocates radio show. President Joe Biden coming to my hometown, Madison, Wisconsin. You better tune in. Devils Advocates will bring you all the coverage.
Hey, Conrad?
Hello?
Hello?
Hey, yeah, once Pete's back in here, you should hear him. Just make sure you leave the WMDX studio unmuted.
Breaks. I can actually hear what's going on in the studio during StreamYard from that.
What do you mean?
So last time I did this, I had the WMDX studio unmuted for the whole show.
Right.
And I could hear what people were saying during the breaks. So could people on air. Like on StreamYard.
I'll message you.
Talk to us about post-punk. And he said, you know, punk, you know, education is the new punk. Well, I'm almost wondering if we're not post-schooling, or if we don't need post-schooling in some way where schools out there just say, enough with the way we used to do things. Let's DIY. Let's get creative. Let's, you know, be innovative, problem solving, and let's do this differently. And then I was reminded, that's what Educators Amplified talk about on Wednesday.
They do it.
You know, everything was firing today, you know, all the senses. And I'm pretty stoked to talk about it. And we'll chop it up today.
Don't forget Monday, man. Monday, we started the week. What would Matt Damon's mom say? Dr. Nancy Carlson Page starts off the week. She's going to be here every first Monday of the month.
That was like an all-star week, huh?
Yeah, I know, right?
It was all-star week on Busted Pencils. This is getting to be a regular thing, Tim.
And we loved it, though, too, is, you know, they say, was it really? Yes, it really was Matt Damon's mom. And we said, though, the great part about that is it's Dr. Nancy Carlson Page, educator, researcher, activist for public schools. In fact, doing her gig before Matt really became the Matt Damon we all know.
Oh, for sure.
So it's like, you know, and we say, why do we ask Matt Damon's mom? Well, because first of all, we shouldn't be asking Matt Damon, except for the fact that he is an awesome advocate of public schools and a great speaker. But his mom has the cred to answer the questions when you talk about saying, should we be teaching science, which was our first introduction to Nancy Carlson Page, should we be teaching science to 3-4-year-olds, pre-K kids? And she was like, oh my God, why would we not? Because that's when you're going to grab them. You're going to give them that because their natural excitement level is so attuned to being looking at nature, looking at science. The whole experiment of being a 3-year-old and experimenting. I was thinking about this, Johnny, after the show. Most of the time when you're 3 years old, you spend most of your day trying to figure out cause and effect scenarios, right? When I push this glass off of the table, right? Will my mom get upset? Will my dad get upset? And boom, that's a science experiment they're conducting right there. So the reality here is you go, no, we got to wait until their cortex is developed and we got to get them developmentally ready. We can't be teaching them biological terms when they're 3 years old. Of course not. In fact, isn't that the biggest problem most of the time with almost everything we teach? We create this sense of saying, before you can do the good, juicy stuff, we have to bore you with the crappy minutia stuff to get it there. Johnny.
Well, Tim, I'm going to talk about this, and I'm only going to work now as much as I can in a post-schooling era. I'm really going to push that. But you know what? In a schooling era that we're trying to move out of, you know, that whole idea of authority and the correct answer and the right thing being known by adults and imposed on children is part of that problem. You know, let young people explore. It's not anything goes. Like, don't let them walk out into a busy road. But let them wander around, you know, in other places. Let them be free. You know, like, we're here to make sure that they don't do themselves or one another harm. But we're not here to impose and limit that sort of inquiry that, you know, Dr. Nancy Carlson Page on Monday, you know, was saying, come on, guys, let's not make science the schooling science for young people. Like, let's not take the fun and the play out of it, because that's really important. And I'd argue that's important all the way up.
Think about that. That's why I say, Johnny, it's like, that is just, you said, post-schooling real education, doing punk, doing DIY, is actually engaging in the curiosity of the content. It's Busted Pencils. It's Fully Leaded. Hey, we got some trending news we're going to come back to, though. Johnny and Tim chopping it up back after the break.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Matt Nair on air.
Some people just know the best rate for you is a rate based on you with Allstate. Not one based on the driver who treats the highway like a racetrack and the shoulder like a passing lane. Why pay a rate based on anyone else? Get one based on you with DriveWise from Allstate.
Not available in Alaska or California. Subject to terms and conditions. Rates are determined by several factors, which vary by state. In some states, participation in DriveWise allows Allstate to use your driving data for purposes of rating. While in some states, your rate could increase with high-risk driving. Generally, safer drivers will save with DriveWise. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
Protect your livelihood with a livestock risk protection policy through Ag Country Farm Credit Services. With an LRP policy, you're covered if the market price unexpectedly drops for fed cattle, feeder cattle, or swine. Coverage options range from 70 to 100%. Get an LRP policy from a team that knows agriculture. Contact your local Ag Country office to learn more. Ag Country. Focused on ag. Focused on you. Ag Country is an equal opportunity lender and provider.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for the Todd Allball Show.
Yeah. Nah, we're not dogs, but we do love to run. It's Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded Education.
Ain't nothing wrong with being a dog.
Nothing being a dog on the run, man. Educated educators.
I want to be a dog.
Education. There, I heard a little wolf, wolf, wolf there.
855-752-4842. That's just the dog in me.
855-752-4842. Again, recap of the week. What a great week. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Yeah, Busted Pencils. That's it. You know, every day of the week. And what a week. And Johnny, though, breaking into the news. Oh, our friend Michael Petrilli over at the Fordham Foundation just can't seem to let things, you know, go. And well, a couple weeks ago, he was, you know, reminding us that if we just went back to the good old days of No Child Left Behind, when things were getting better, when we could test people and really know if kids were truly doing well or whether teachers were truly teaching, we need to go back to those good old days. Well, to this week, he puts out a new thing here, too, where he's like, school choice. And in fact, you know, say, I do agree with him that school choice has been having lots of victories, but he's kind of worried that the idea of totally school choice for the rich might be a windfall, and uses a little bit of what they would say apologetics type of, you know, an attempt to say, but maybe we should be a little bit concerned about rich people taking taxpayer money to pay for the private school that they're already in. And maybe we should pull back on that, not by saying we shouldn't do it, but by putting together what he's calling a sliding scale. And he reports that my state, where I'm in right now, Ohio, is the model example, because in Ohio, if you're making $200,000, you have to be on a sliding scale and you don't get full voucher. You get some voucher. And he's like, that's a brilliant idea. And it's like, dude, stop it. Just stop it. That's where I'm kind of on this. It's like, it's school choice. And the fact is that if you're realizing that wealthy people who already had their kids in private school are now using this as a way to supplement, and as we've heard in places like in Florida, where a lot of these parents are just buying hot tubs, going to Disney World and stuff like that, it's like, wait a minute, man, stop it. Stop it. There is no such thing as a good school choice, Johnny Lupinacci.
Yeah, you know, Tim, this is gets into the semantics for me. You know, wealthy people are going to do wealthy people things, send their kids to private schools. That's fine. That's a choice. That's the choice. I don't think it's, you know, I'm going to fall back on it again. It's not the government's responsibility to provide that choice. Mm-hmm. You know, there's always going to be, since the beginning of time, there's always going to be, it's the same thing when we talk about healthcare. You know, if you've got the money, you can always go to private options. But that shouldn't mean that there aren't great options for everybody. And that's the problem right now. Is we're not calling for like a ban on private schools.
No,
you know, that's fine. We're just saying, like, stop trying to use like public funds to make it harder on public schools. Stop trying to starve out public education. And school choice is nothing but that. It's absolutely not choice.
Right.
It's just language slapped on something that's saying, how can we decimate public schooling so that we can create it like almost like a fast food industry? It would be the similar thing would be to say, how can we stop good restaurants and great grocery stores and just have fast food everywhere? And if we were attacking grocery stores and restaurants, then that's the same thing we're doing here. And I would call that food choice bill, the food choice bill. I'm going to make it impossible, Tim, to have a good restaurant or healthy food options at the grocery store. And instead, I'm just going to, decimate those options and plug in McDonald's and Taco Bells everywhere I can. That's the same idea here. It's not to say that there shouldn't be private schools or, elite academies. Great. Have those. They've always been around. They're always going to be around. Stop taking money from our public schools.
Stop taking the money from us.
Stop starving us out in a post-schooling era.
Post-schooling. Right? I got a quote, though, Johnny. In fact, so just so people understand where Michael Petrilli's coming from. Quote, "No doubt the growth of educational freedom, as many advocates now call it, is a fantastic development. We take consumer choice for granted in practically every aspect of American society except K-12 education. It's long past time for schools to be subjected to the same competitive forces that almost every other organization in America is. And in our huge, diverse society, it makes sense to embrace a pluralistic school system that allows families to find educational institutions that match both their values and their hopes and their dreams for their children." Take that whole bunch of gobbledygook and put that together. And what he's essentially saying is that we need to get rid of public schools in America because, darn it, we just in our diverse society, we should have a plurality of schools that people can choose from. Johnny, we said you already can because there are a plurality of private schools to choose from if you so would like one. It's not, though, then to corrupt public schools into these, quote, choices, because actually in a diverse pluralistic society, the contribution and the commitment to democratic education is something that we say all people get, and the commons then funds that. I know you got a head shaking there, man.
Because what you're reading, Tim, is a lot of good stuff. I mean, and that's the whole thing I want to point out here is Petrilli is using a lot of great language to hoodwink the reader, right? It's to say shouldn't we have this in this great pluralistic society? We should have all options for all of our students to have great education. Well, yeah, of course. Okay. That is the function of a public school system. That already is a function. Is it doing great? Not everywhere. And we've talked about that. So if I'm reading that in an area where the public schools have been starved out and aren't doing so great, right, I'm thinking, okay, I'm with this guy. Do what we got to do because this is not working. Here's the thing, Tim, and this is what I'm going to give Petrilli the benefit of the doubt on, right? He's a free market worshiper.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
So he bows to the gods called free market. This is not even the same. And I'm making a corollary to religious because that's how little faith he has in democracy. And this is what it's about. It is about he believes firmly that the way for things to be good, for things to work themselves out, is to allow markets to settle things. Right. But what we know about markets, and markets are controlled, they're manipulated, and they're used in ways to keep particular people benefiting at the expense and exploitation of others. Right. And so this is like free market capitalism gone awry. This historically wasn't really part of schools because schools were like L.A. Tom called in and said before, they're part of the commons or they're part of our government function. Right. And so there's been limitations put on. They're not an industry. Mm-hmm. They're a stalwart of a strong nation. And so they're democratically governed. Well, you know what? Petrilli and the boys that believe in the free market gods, they're practicing their religion of free market economics. And they're saying, no, in fact, schools can't be good unless there's competition and this idea of unlimited growth mapped onto education. So it needs to be privatized and let's let the market settle them. But folks, what we know by and large and I made that food analogy before, that the schools that the free market is giving us in replacement of public schools is equivalent to just putting a pile of sawdust on a table and feeding it to us. It's not quality education, you know? And in the cases where it is, the few cases, it's been, you know, trumpeted as, hey, this is going to be what your kid can have someday. Well, we're sitting here asking, how long do I got to eat sawdust before I can have a good meal? Because that's the reality for so many of our kids, is the privatized system has not provided good education to the masses, and public schools can and have. Let's go. It's a post-schooling era. I'm fired up. It's Friday. Let's do this.
Hey, everybody, Todd Albo, Monday, noon to 2. President Biden is in Wisconsin. We'll have it for you right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin public schools are now required by law to teach Hmong and Asian American history. Governor Evers signed the bipartisan bill into law yesterday. Black, Hispanic, and Native American histories are already required learning in Wisconsin. Evers is also declaring April as Hmong Heritage Month. Tax day is coming up. Some people spend 9 hours and $150 doing